Mondays here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions, so give us a call right here in our studio. 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you may do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our free seminars. We just had our first Orlando seminar yesterday, and it went fantastic. We'll talk about that. You can see who the show's sponsors are. We have some with us today in the studio. And you can visit all of their websites. You can see what legislation we're demanding from our elected officials and which elected officials are in your corner, and perhaps more importantly, which are not. You can also automatically link to our Facebook page and join in on our discussions about the show, start your own discussions, and actually see lots of photos of all the board certification events.
All right. And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a member, a sponsor of the show, rather. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm, Glazer & Associates, directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call us at 855, the number 4, CondoCraze. Again, that's 855, the number 4, CondoCraze. And you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com.
Well, last show, our guest was Milena Macias, the president of the Community Association Member Party, and she walked us through the 6 legislative proposals that she and her organization are trying to push through the Florida legislature. And the phone lines lit up the entire show. Lots of our listeners are fed up with the state of affairs in community associations, wanted to know more. So again, if you want to learn more, please visit www.camp2012.net.
Yes, lots of talk last show, Karen, about the absolute hands-off approach that the Florida legislature seems to have when going against the banks. And again, it seems that no matter how much fraud the banks are committing in our court system and how much financial harm they're causing to Floridians all across the state, there's still going to be a bunch of politicians perfectly willing to stick their head in the sand while sticking their hands out to take a contribution from them, all the while turning their back, really, on the raging fraud and the massive perjury that the banks committed in this state. But I say again, let's keep track of which politicians side with the owners and associations and which ones are siding with the banks when it comes time to November. And when we find out, we will, believe me, we will let our listeners know by posting the results on the show's website. You can guarantee it.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Eric, there's a great article in the Palm Beach Post that details how the Massachusetts Attorney General filed a lawsuit against 5 of the major U.S. lenders for all the fraud they committed. Again, while our Attorney General still has not sued one bank over pursued one criminal prosecution.
Yeah, I think the Massachusetts Attorney General, I believe the California Attorney General have all said they had enough of the shenanigans. They want to get tough against the banks, and apparently our Attorney General wants to put the brakes on that in exchange for perhaps a monetary settlement. I don't get it, but I think that better turn around real quickly. It's going to be a one-term Attorney General office for her. And that's regardless of the fact that Florida leads the nation in mortgage-related fraud. So if there's one attorney general, at least in my opinion, in the entire country that should be taking the lead here and making the example out of the banks, it should be our attorney general, Pam Bondi. She should be doing it, and unfortunately, it's just not happening. But before we actually talk shop, lots of good things happened in the last 2 weeks. And the first is that on Monday, I actually had the pleasure of appearing before the entire 9-member United States Supreme Court, and I made a motion to the court, to admit all of the associate attorneys at Glazer & Associates as members of the bar of the United States Supreme Court.
That must have been awesome. Did you get photos?
Did I get photos? Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. Not a lot of photos in the courtroom, but lots of photos of the event, are on our Facebook page. So absolutely, everybody, just go to Facebook, take a look. for condo craze and HOAs, and you'll see you know, all of us up there. But a fantastic event. It is awe-inspiring to actually stand in front of the nine-member court.
I actually heard you kind of fainted when you got there.
Didn't faint, but, you know, not true. But just like in law school, I kind of grabbed the podium and held on for dear life. And luckily, Chief Justice Roberts granted my motion. It was definitely a lot of fun. Very, very rewarding. And if that wasn't enough this week, yesterday was our very first board certification seminar at the Hard Rock Hotel in Orlando. It really was so great to meet so many people from Central Florida who cared enough to get certified by taking the course. And I really think after reading the evaluations, I can safely say that everybody had a real great time. Lots of our sponsors were there too, including KW Management, who's in the studio with us today. The food was great. They really did a great job accommodating all of us. And by the way, the next Condo Craze Board Certification course is in Hollywood, and that one is January 26th. Believe it or not, despite the fact that that's almost 2 months away, we're probably about three-quarters sold out for that one already. So if you want to register for that course, just go to condocrazeandhoas.com to register again, condocrazeandhoas.com to register. Our office manager, Brian, we'll send you back confirmation that you are, in fact, enrolled.
And if that wasn't enough, let's tell all our listeners about the new condo and HOA blog in the Orlando Sentinel.
Yeah, it's been a nonstop week, Karen. This week, I partnered up with Jan Bergman from Cyber Citizens for Justice and Darlis Walker from Condominium Concepts to start a condo and HOA law blog in the Orlando Sentinel. And I'll give everybody the point of view of the board. Jan will take the point of view of unit owners. And Darlis is going to take the point of view from the management company's perspective. Should be a lot of fun. And in spite of everything that's gone on in the last few days, as they say, this show must go on. So without any further ado, Scott, how about introducing today's guests?
Well, here we are already, December 4th. 3 weeks away from Christmas and only 4 weeks away from the new year. And in Florida community associations, this is the time of year that is so critical for so many reasons. There are so many things the association needs to start thinking about, like elections, budgets, financial reporting, contract renewals. And to help walk us through the important things that your association should be focusing on right now, we brought in two experts at the KW Property Management Team who has sponsored this show since day one. Welcome Scott Stewart and Regan Marock.
Thank you for having us, as usual.
Thanks, guys, for showing up today. Much appreciated. And generally, please remind our listeners what KW Property Management is all about.
Thanks, Eric. We're a statewide company. We manage approximately 35,000 units across the state. We're proud to say we now manage units in Nashville, Tennessee. We have approximately 550 employees. Our offices are in Miami, Naples, Orlando, and Tampa. Our focus as a management company is on hospitality, maintenance, and accounting. Some of the properties we manage around the state include Marquee, 900 Biscayne, Turnberry Village, Hollywood Beach Resort, just to name a few. We take an independent approach to management. We do not own or have a financial interest in any of the vendors that we use in our network. Our motto is a professional and independent approach to management.
I'll tell you, we're going to talk a lot about being independent because that issue came up repeatedly yesterday at the Orlando seminar. But let me just say this. On my end, it's absolutely great to work with a management company that stresses hospitality and property management, proper preventive maintenance, but is also staffed with CPAs, you know, especially when dealing with associations that are large and have budgets of like $1 million or more. There's really less than a handful of management companies in Florida that have the know-how, the experience, and the staff that can work really with the larger community associations. And I have to tell you respectfully, I put KW on that very short list.
Well, thanks, Eric. I appreciate that. It's that formula that's allowed us in 7 years to grow from managing small HOA communities to some of the largest luxury high-rises in the state.
Well, let's do this. Let's take our first break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about lots of things that are of particular importance to community associations this time of year, including displaying holiday decorations. We'll talk about preparing for your annual meeting, preparing year-end financial reports, and lots more with our guests Regan Marock and Scott Stewart from KW Property Management. And, of course, we'll answer any and all of your questions about condo and HOA law. Give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585, and we will be back right after this. Thank you.
850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And we have guests in the studio from KW Property Management, Regan Maroc and Scott Stewart.
Yeah, hey, Regan, I understand. I didn't realize just how much of a big shot you actually were. Why don't you tell everybody the promotion that you recently got at KW?
I appreciate you stroking my ego, Eric.
Became
a partner at the beginning of the year.
That is fantastic. Absolutely. Congratulations, partner. That's wonderful. And let's do this. How about we take Robert from Jensen Beach?
Robert.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you, Robert?
Very good, thank you. And I'd like to say this is a great program.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it.
We got a problem up here in Jensen Beach in Windmill Village. We've got a board that's pursuing the purchase of a clubhouse for $1.7 million. They sent out a vote, and along with the vote, they misrepresented the terms of the agreement. And even our lawyer knows about this. They state in the literature that went along with the vote that it was a 6% 30-year loan, when in actuality, it's a 6% at 4 years, never goes below 6%, and then reverts to prime, whichever that could go, and that could even go to 20%, without a payoff and no cap. And the people haven't had a chance to read anything on this. There's something in the clubhouse for 2 hours a day. It almost sounds like fraud to me, and I'd like to know what I can do about it.
Well, there's nothing, you know, just because you live in an HOA, I take it, doesn't necessarily mean that your First Amendment rights have been terminated, by the way. There's nothing preventing you from going out and trying to set the record straight in your own letter to the unit owners. That happens all the time. You know, as long as you're willing to come up with the, 44 cents a stamp now? As long as you're willing to come up with the 44 cents a stamp to mail to everybody, you can send out your own letter if you disagree with the facts. Or you can, you know, send...
I want to know what I can do legally.
Well, what you can do legally, go in, get an attorney, and perhaps try to get an injunction to prevent the association from making the purchase because the information being provided to the unit owners was false. But again, we'd absolutely need to see what was sent out. Again, difficult to give you answers to these types of questions without actually seeing your governing documents, without actually seeing what was sent to the unit owners. But what you can do is give us a call tomorrow, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. And Robert, we would be glad to help you out. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much, Robert. All right. Before we went to the break, again, we were talking with Regan and Scott from KW. Got to tell you guys something. I got back from Orlando yesterday. We had the seminar. Lots of people showed up. Real enjoyable. And as you guys know, considering you've both been there, we take lots of questions from the audience and lots of complaints from the audience. And believe it or not, perhaps the overwhelming number one issue that unit owners and even board members were complaining about yesterday was the fact that their management company seems to run their community somewhat as a dictatorship. What do I mean by that? Many people stood up and said, our management company just signed a contract locking us into a long-term agreement with a landscaper. Our management company just told us we must use this lawyer. Our management company just told us we have to use this telecommunications company, and on and on and on. We were getting complaints like that. So needless to say, I had to stand up and tell them that for some reason, you know, that they're putting the cart before the horse and that the management company works for the board, not the other way around. I'd love your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, Eric, what it boils down to, obviously, we're a big fan of the independent side to keep things objective, but it's a management company's job to do the research, find the right vendors, and make recommendations to the board. There's no problem with making a recommendation, a strong recommendation, but it boils down to it's the board's responsibility and the right to make the final decision. I'll also say that we are big proponents of our clients not signing long-term contracts. There's really no benefit to signing a long-term contract. You should be able to get the same concessions, especially in this economy, with signing a short-term contract. And, you know, it's better for it keeps the vendor on their toes, and you make sure that they're, you know, they keep doing a good job.
Right, absolutely. Anybody have any questions, by the way, for the gentleman from KW that we have with us today? 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. And let's also move on to a topic that every year seems to make its way into the news, for better or worse, and we wind up seeing a story on TV about a unit owner in a condo or an HOA that puts up some sort of holiday display that, you know, no doubt looks great, but the board eventually says, you know, it's too big, it's too bright, it's too religious, whatever it is, take it down. You know, tell our listeners what members in a community association can and can't do when it comes to decorating their property this time of year.
Well, Florida statute actually really doesn't allow the condominium unit owners much leeway when they want to, what they want to display for the Christmas or Hanukkah decoration. The statute actually says that an association may not refuse the request of a unit owner for a reasonable accommodation for an attachment to the mantle or frame of the door of the unit owner for religious objects not exceeding 3 inches wide, 6 inches high, or 1.5 inches deep.
So really the statute only allows, let's say, for something the size of what the Jewish people refer to as the mezuzah, or maybe the display of a small cross on the mantle or frame of the door.
That's right, Karen. Statute doesn't allow anything to be posted to the door itself, like a wreath, a picture, Santa Claus, and technically the association would be in the right to ask the unit owner to put up a religious symbol on their door or to remove it.
Yeah, well, but as we know, associations, we like to think, are governed by reasonable people, right? You know, a lot of people just turn their radio off maybe on that one. But if a family puts up a picture of Santa on the door for the holidays or a picture of a menorah, the association should maybe look the other way and deal with it for the 2 weeks that it's going to be up there. At least, that, you know, that's my thought. No big deal.
No, I agree. Keep in mind, the statute only ensures the rights to display these items. You think that most associations do look the other way in enforcing the statutes too forcefully. Some of the smart associations have actually set up guidelines and it's considered acceptable for the holiday decorations. But of course, every year, without fail, a case makes the paper where some mean condo or HOA board does the unthinkable in order Santa to be taken down.
Well, believe it or not, despite the fact that our Constitution pretty much protects our freedom to worship, members in an HOA don't even have the protections that condo owners even have. There's no HOA statute whatsoever that gives owners the right to display any religious symbols of any kind. Basically, in these communities, the owners are at the mercy of their governing documents or rules and regulations of the board.
Well, that's interesting, and let's take it one step further. And we'll throw this question out to everybody here and our listeners. Can your board actually prevent you from practicing your religion while on the association's common elements? Scott, tell everybody about the case called Newman versus Grandview at Emerald Hills, which was decided by Florida's 4th District Court of Appeals in 2003, and that involved a condominium in Hollywood.
Well, it's a funny case, Eric. Basically, here are the facts. Grandview is a Broward County condominium with 442 units, and the common elements include an auditorium. In 1982, the board enacted a rule which allowed members to reserve the auditorium for social gatherings and events, including religious groups, as long as 80% of those in attendance lived at the condo. On a tangent here, I remember in a lot of the old decks, Eric, it would say, no secret societies,
right,
though.
Exactly, right,
that was always
right,
the best thing.
Right.
In January 2001, unit owners began reserving the auditorium on Saturday and Sunday mornings, and they were actually reserving it for religious services. Well, the unit owners in the building started to complain, causing the board to hold another meeting where they decided to let the owners in the building decide whether or not to allow the auditorium to be used for religious services. 70% of the owners voted against the right of members to use the room for religious services. And based on the vote, the unit owners, the board amended their rules and now prohibited religious services of any kind on the common elements of the condominium. Of course, a lawsuit was filed against the association.
Yeah, and before we actually tell everybody how the case turned out, let's keep in mind that in a condominium, everybody owns an undivided share of those common elements. So if you're prohibited from having like a religious ceremony on the common elements, you're actually being prohibited from having a religious ceremony really on property that at least you partially own. So the question is, Scott, did the court say that it was okay for your condominium board of directors to ban, you know, religious services on the common elements or not? And here's what the court actually said. A, a board of directors has broad authority to make reasonable rules for the benefit of the community. Inherent in the condominium concept is the principle that to promote health, happiness, and peace of mind of the majority of the unit owners, since they're living in such close proximity to one another, each owner has to give up a certain degree of freedom of choice. which he might not otherwise enjoy in a separately private-owned community. And having polled the members and determined that a majority approved the ban, the board's rule, again, banning religious practices on the common element, that it assured the auditorium was available to everybody for the use that it was intended for, and prohibiting this type of assembly, which will have a particularly divisive effect on the community, is a reasonable restriction.
Yeah, I mean, but they're not saying you can't have a Christmas party at the auditorium. What they're saying is you can't have a communion there.
You can't have a communion. I guess you can't have, and I know this particular condominium has, let's say, a large Jewish population, mm-hmm. perhaps was practicing Sabbath services on Friday night or Saturday, and the court says, no, we're not going to let you use the common areas for those types of religious practices. Number one, if you look at the bottom part, because it might have a divisive effect on a community. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just because you allow people to practice religion in a building, would that necessarily cause divisiveness in the community? You know, I'd like to know what our listeners think. Should your board be able to stop you from having religious ceremonies in the common areas? You know, what do you think? Give us a call at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. And again, we're here with Regan Morak and Scott Stewart from KW. Guys, if you have any questions at all about what your management company could or should be doing this time of year, give us a call. Now's the time to ask our experts.
And I would love to hear from any Santeria practitioners down here about you know, this rule as well.
877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro of Glazer & Associates, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We have guests in the studio, our friends Regan Morak and Scott Stewart of KW Property Management.
Guys, let me ask you a question about something that's obviously, as you know, very near and dear to my heart. And that is board certification of condo members.
Not donuts?
Not even pumpkin donuts. Nobody knows we bring that into the studio each Sunday, but now they know that. Anyway, the Condo Craze board certification seminar, or any seminar for that matter, that board members would be able to attend to get some sort of education that at least I feel so many of them desperately want. You know, what's your thought as a management company about whether or not the board members that you work with and that you serve should be required or at least have the ability to attend some sort of, you know, educational curriculum?
You know, this is a topic we've spoken about a lot internally. And, you know, I don't think it would be a bad idea to have some mandatory course on hand, simply because at the end of the day, these board members are running a small business. You're talking budgets up to $5 million. Some of them may not even have business experience. And it's important. I mean, you're taking care of a lot of people that own, for instance, if a building has 200 unit owners, you're making decisions for the other 200 or 199 people. So, yeah, I think it's definitely something that should be looked at a little more carefully, and maybe the whole board member perspective, it should be monitored a little closer.
Sure. I can tell you, for those board members that actually finish taking the course, when they're done, they actually can't believe not only how much they learn, but now they can't believe that it's not a requirement for board members. Of course they should be, you know, mandated to learn all of this instead of signing that, you know, silly self-serving affidavit that many of them sign. And right now, I think as you both know, there's a bill pending in the Florida legislature that it would actually require HOA board members to get certified as well. And I would think all of us, you know, whether it be management companies, whether or not it be law firms, you know, whatever service providers, I think, quite frankly, it's in all of our interests to make sure that the people that we're working with has this type of education available to them.
Well, another thought as well is I was asked by the Florida Community Association Journal to put a few quotes in about new board members coming in. I think that's something that would be very helpful and useful for new board members coming, just to have the education of the role of being a board member. Some of them don't really know and understand what it's about, that it's a thankless job. I think that would also be helpful as part of the curriculum.
Well, and they should learn about, you know, the automatic tremendous salary benefits that they get with it as well, you know, health insurance and things like that. All right, how about we take Helen from Delray? How are you, Helen?
Hello.
Good.
Oh, good morning.
How are you?
Or afternoon.
How can we help you,
Helen? I'm fine, thank you. I have a question. I'm brand new resident in a condo association. I literally here only 2 months.
Okay.
And I open my mail and I have a budget, a proposed budget.
Right.
Well, there's an option to vote for or against reserves.
Yes.
But there isn't any option on the budget itself. Should there be a yes or no? Can you vote no to the whole budget?
That's a good question, because there's always some confusion in that regard. The unit owners absolutely have no say whatsoever in whether or not their budget gets approved. You'd be surprised how often this comes up at the seminar, too. No, unit owners don't decide on whether or not the budget gets adopted by the board. That is a board decision only. However, when it comes time to deciding whether or not your budget is going to include reserve accounts, that budget should have been sent out showing what the budget will be with a fully funded reserve accounts. And if the board's going to give you the option of having less than fully funded reserves or waiving reserves altogether, yes, that is something that you have the right to vote on as a unit owner, but not for the entire budget. Hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, all right. Hey, 2 months, she's living there, and she's still there. That's good. She hasn't given up just yet. All right, back to what we were talking about again before the last break, about what associations need to start thinking about this time of year. And, guys, the DBPR gets all kinds of complaints every year alleging that associations are not preparing the financial reports that they need to be preparing each year. And, you know, why should associations be thinking about this job particularly right now?
Well, Eric, everyone wants to save money. But what these unit owners don't understand, that it's important for someone independent to verify what's being told to them and how their money's being spent. It helps keep honest people honest. If the owners want to try to save some money and vote not to have full-blown audits instead and only have a compilation of their books done by their accountant, the vote of the unit owners must be taken by December 31st. If not, the association is going to require that an audit be completed.
And doesn't the responsibility of the association to prepare a financial report basically kick in right after the year ends?
Exactly. And that's why we started a couple months ago advising associations they should hire a CPA. If they haven't retained an independent CPA by now, they're kind of behind the eight ball, and the longer they wait, the more expensive it's going to get. The statute basically says that within 90 days of January 1st, the association needs to hire someone to do their financials, and within 120 days of January 1st, that a financial report has to be finalized and available to the unit owners to see. So again, these decisions need to be made right now by the association.
And I would guess that this is also the time of year that the association must start thinking about next year's budget.
Yeah, I just want to clarify something also. Generally speaking, you know, we teach this at the seminar all the time. Again, this time of year, your association needs to be thinking about preparing the year-end financial reports. You'd be surprised how many associations get into trouble with the DBPR by not preparing these reports promptly. There's basically a detailed system on what types of reports you actually have to prepare. Very less detailed reports if your association has a budget of $100,000 or less than 75 units. And, of course, the most difficult report that you guys would have to prepare, and it basically holds true the same for HOAs. If your budget is $400,000 or more, you guys have to prepare a full-blown audit. Now, a lot of associations don't like to prepare those audits because they're costly, and what Scott Stewart was just mentioning to you a little while ago, there are provisions in the statute that would allow the members of the association to kind of save money and not have a full-blown audit, but you have to take that vote. Assuming your year ends, your fiscal year ends on December 31st, the unit owners would have to take that vote before December 31st. If you don't do it, you blew the time period, and like it or not, you're going to spend the money on that audit. And so tell us, you were going to tell us, when does these budget preparations actually should have started?
Well, actually, we started all our budget preparations a few months ago. A lot of budgets get passed in December and January, and I'm sure your listeners know the budget has to be prepared and mailed to everybody at least 14 days in advance of the meeting that the budget will be voted on by the board of directors. I've seen some associations that require a longer mailing time, so make sure you check your documents. Remember, though, also, everyone's trying to get coupons printed at the same time So the sooner you get it done, the better and easier it'll be for you.
Yeah. Does KW generally assist the board that they, you know, that they work with in preparing the budget? You know, how does that work? And again, the budget for an association is not a decision of the management company. I'm sure you agree. I'm assuming you guys assist the board in preparing the budget.
Definitely. We actually started working on all our association budgets probably about 4 or 6 months ago with analyzations of contracts and all kinds of things.
All right, let's do this. Let's go and take our final break of the hour. And we get back, again, we'll finish up on what we need to be thinking about this time of year. Again, we're here with Regan Marock and Scott Stewart from KW Property Management, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585, and we will be back right after this.
Segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer, Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We've got our friends from KW Property Management in the studio, Regan Marock and Scott Stewart. And we're taking your phone calls. Mary from Fort Lauderdale is on the line. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
How can we help you, Mary?
I have a question. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good. I have a question. I live in a, actually, we live in a homeowners association, 138 families here. We recently got a new homeowner management company that manages our property for us. But I was a little surprised when I went to my last monthly meeting because the homeowner, we had contractors who would come out and do woodwork or whatever work we needed done. But the new management company decided that they would let bids, but they came in and under management company itself came in and underbidded all of the contractors, and of course they got all the contracts, and they're not only managing the property, they're also doing all the contract work, and seems to be a lot of new work being done now.
Oh,
and of course it's the homeowners are paying for this.
This is just,
we're concerned about it.
It's a perfect question to throw out to our guests. What do you guys think of that one?
Well, that's one of the main reasons that we as a company have stayed independent, because how can you be objective and take out the conflict of interest if you have a management company that's also doing your landscaping and all the other jobs? It's also important,
exactly,
if you are going to have a company that does it, it's important to set things up that you use sealed bids, because otherwise, absolutely, that's what's going to happen. They're going to collect all the bids. That's a management company's job. And then their companies, their subsidiaries, or just their company as a whole, are going to see it, and just naturally they're going to underbid it. So the one
that's exactly what happened. We had about 3 or 4 contracts discussed at the last meeting, and supposedly they only got 2 bids. We insisted that for some of them they go back and get additional bids. There's only one board member that objected, and a number of homeowners objected because of the conflict that we feel that is happening.
Well, let me throw this out to you, Mary. Mary, the type of work that's actually being done. Mary, please throw your phone out the window if you don't mind.
I am. I have to call you back. I'm on the phone. Okay, I hung it up.
All right, thanks,
Mary.
Thank
you.
Okay, the type of work that actually needs to be done in your community may require somebody that has a license to do that type of work. And while your management company might be licensed as a community association management company, they might necessarily have a license to do, you know, contract repairs or roof work or painting or whatever else needs to be done in the community.
Mm-hmm.
They just might have some guys that know how to do it, but again, that are not licensed, and they might not be insured for the type of work that needs to be done. That's really important, and that's why no matter what, this better be run to the association's attorney.
Yeah, and to add to
they were trying to recommend an attorney, and we objected to that. We said no. They wanted to immediately to move our money to a bank that they bank. Well, we said no, leave it where it is.
No, and you of course said immediately no. We're going with Glazer and Associates. We know what we're doing, right?
Yeah,
of course.
I'm very concerned. Not only me, but I am going to speak to some of my homeowners that live here, and I told them I was going to listen today. for your number. I guess I wrote it right. I'm not sure. I got 877-850-8585.
Yeah, that's the call-in number.
I probably need another number.
That's the call-in number for the show. The call-in number to the firm is 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, 855, the number 4, Condo Craze.
Yeah, thank you.
And along with your, you know, calling Eric, you're in great hands. I would make a recommendation. You know, the companies they're using may be licensed and they may be proper subsidiaries. However, the best option would be to use the sealed bid process. That way, the bids come directly to the board members.
I realize that would be very helpful. Thank you. I'm just concerned because they want to put in new air conditioning unit. Yeah. They're just doing everything, and we're not going to have reserves left at the rate they're going.
I got it. Mary, thank you so much for the phone call. We got about 4 minutes left. Have a great day.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for Mary calling in, and let's get back to talking about the way management companies work and do business down here, and how they help associations. And I guess I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that now more than ever, associations are looking to cut back on the amounts of their budgets. Do you guys over at KW try and help associations become a little leaner and meaner?
Definitely, we do. That's why we start our budget process so early in the season. We actually have the budgets analyzed by our in-house CPAs to ensure that they're in line with the other associations in the area and to make sure that the numbers make sense. Say an association is showing a huge increase in an area that another association isn't. They actually drill down to find out why.
Yeah, one of the programs we have, which we've had for many years now, is what we call our value optimization program, whereas we will actually go through the budget line item by line item and see if we don't call it a cost optimization because we're not only looking for ways to save money, but also with certain contracts to make sure that whatever your contract says, you're actually getting. For instance, if the landscaping contract says 3 cuts a month, they're doing 3 cuts a month. Or maybe you can go back to them and say, for what I'm paying you, I would like more. There's multiple things that the value optimization program can do. Strong relationships with vendors, no financial relationship, just strong relationships and using your leverage, going back and getting good pricing. That's some of the stuff that we do.
Yeah, and especially at this time of year or in this economy, I should say, now's the time to perhaps be asking for a little bit more from your vendors. As a matter of fact, before we took our last break, you brought up a really good point. Again, we were telling our listeners what the requirements are at year-end to prepare a financial report. And associations who have budgets of $400,000 or more, they're required by law to do a full-blown audit. And again, it's expensive typically. But you brought up a good point, and you said, a lot of associations, even though their budget isn't $400,000, they might want to do a full-blown audit anyway because, quite frankly, the time's right. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at this point with the economy the way it is, it's not as expensive as it was in years before to get a full-blown audit. And this is the time, at the beginning of the call we were talking about taking recommendations from your management company. It's important that your management company make recommendations of accounting firms that do a good job and that you get a good price. But yes, you want to get that audit. It's good to have in the records. It's worth it.
Yeah, and again, even when a lot of new boards come in, typically what happens, the new regime comes in and says, you know what, we're not sure that the old regime did things the right way, so we'd like to get a full-blown audit. Boards have the authority to do that in a condominium association without the vote of their unit owners. In HOA, it's a little more difficult, but it can also be done in an HOA as well. But gentlemen, we're approaching that time of the hour where our time's just about up. I really want to thank you both for coming in today and for educating our listeners. But most importantly, tell me how our listeners can get in contact with you.
Sure. A couple ways. www.kwpropertymanagement.com. There's some information on there as well as an RFP section. Or toll-free at 1-800-514-5770.
All right. Scott, you were saying?
Yeah, I was just saying that I think it was great that we had these guys in here to talk about some really interesting issues. And, there's a whole lot of other things that need to be spoken about. And unlike, when you're shopping around for attorneys, management companies can be more forthcoming about how they can help you and the things they can do for you. So, even if you're kind of satisfied with who you have right now, it might be worth just shopping around
Absolutely.
To see who you want to go with.
Get some answers to your questions. I know these guys will answer all your questions without fail. Before we go, again, to register for the course, go to CondoCrazeAndHOAs.com. Why? Because we run out of space really fast. Orlando, the people that are listening up there, it was great meeting you, all of you, this week. And if you'd like to get in touch with us during the week, call Glazer and Associates at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Everybody have a great week, and we'll speak to you again next week on Condo Craze and HOAs.
See ya.